A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
Inside Sources. Where KSL offers Utah deeper insights on the news. Host Boyd Matheson divides rage from reason
and elevates the conversation on issues crucial to our community.
On KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to Inside Sources. I'm Ethan Millard. I'm filling in for Boyd today. Having a great time. Thanks so much for tuning in. And today, along the Wasatch Front, another smoky, sunny day. And it's just been all summer, the same thing. We haven't had that bluebird day all summer, and it's because of this smoke. And we're just seeing the craziest wildfires here in the American West. And then you add in the increased ferocity of our recent hurricanes, and everyone is talking about global warming and the role that global warming is playing on these natural disasters. And so, but let's talk about it, though, where kind of that hit, the rubber hits the road. And that is how it might affect your pocketbook and affect your ability to operate, the ability to insure your property in some of these areas. We've got Jerry Theodoro, who is the Director of Finance, Insurance, and Trade Policy at R Street Institute. Jerry, thanks so much for joining us. And we're going to talk specifically about insurance, but are the insurers that we're using every day to insure our homes and other things, are these insurers expecting these natural disasters that we see, the storms, the forest fires, things like that, are they expecting them to get worse?
Yeah, thanks, Ethan. It's great to be with you and your listeners. And the short answer to your question is yes, they are. The most recent catastrophe after the wildfires, Hurricane Ida, is expected to cost insurers and reinsurers about $25 to $30 billion. And just to show that this is not a surprise, or it wasn't a surprise for insurers, stock prices of publicly traded insurers did not change much after Ida hit. And also the rating agencies, including Moody's and one of the others, did not downgrade the outlook for the reinsurance industry. So insurance companies with their actuaries are looking at what's happened, what's happening, how things are, as you say, Ethan, getting more ferocious, the intensity, the severity, as well as the frequency. This is an upward trend, and they're pricing it into their premiums, and probably we're going to see higher property premiums.
Well, and this is it's interesting that it seems like everyone has been aware of this. The public seems to be the last to know. If everything's been priced in the stock price and things like that, it seems like everyone's been on board with this global warming increasing the severity of natural disasters. Now we're all trying to wrap our minds around the information. But really, in a very real sense, we need to get on it because, well, look, I'll use the example of cars because it's usually with our cars, that's where we have the most experience with things like claims and insurance companies. And so if we get into a crash, we can expect our premiums to go up, right? And it works the same way if our area falls victim to greater, and here in the West, we get the fires, right? To greater, more intense fires. That's going to equal higher premiums that we pay out of our pockets to protect our homes from those fires.
That's correct. And unfortunately, the difference is that whereas if you look at the highway traffic data, the government puts out data on crash statistics, on fatal crashes, on where they happen. And people understand that if you have more claims, then there's going to be higher premiums. And last year, the good news was that as people drove less because of the pandemic, there were fewer accidents. There were fewer cars on the road. But the unfortunate thing is with natural catastrophes, the issue has gotten politicized. I mean, mm-hmm. I say that you're entitled to your own opinion, but not to your own data. What does the data say? Mm-hmm. And the data does point to these increases, but, you know, it's not a debate as to whether climate change is anthropogenic or not. You know, I don't think we need to get into that. But hurricanes and wildfires don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. God's wrath and fury have no political distinctions. These things are happening. And not only are rates going to go up, but the insurance industry is vocal about, hey, it's better to have protection. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So don't build on the coast. Don't build in a wooded area. There should be restrictions about that. So there's lots that we can do to reduce the death toll and the destruction to property.
So share with me a little bit of extra insight. So my neighborhood is not one that's at great fire risk. Okay, it's not a wooded area. We have our neighborhood trees, but it's not a rural or wooded area. But we do have those along the Wasatch Front. We do have properties. We do have communities that are very vulnerable to wildfire. Can I expect my insurance costs to go up because of these communities or because I didn't build in a high risk area, but I'm still or because I didn't build in the high risk area? Am I going to be protected from increasing premiums?
I can't answer for every insurance company. Some insurers are very granular and they look at the individual risk of every home. And if it's not exposed to some of those perils, then premiums are not going to rise. Other insurers have a way of sort of pooling the risk and that everyone feels a little bit of the pain and spreads it out rather than just raising it for those that are more exposed. But I would say, though, that the risks, even though you're not close to a wooded area, are higher because of some of these what I believe are climate change-induced conditions and changes that are going on, the drought, the high temperatures, these lead to other kinds of insurance losses and flash floods. You know, many people think that floods are only for people that are living next to lakes and rivers and creeks and streams and the ocean. But as we saw in New Jersey and New York and Pennsylvania and where I am in Connecticut, flash flooding can happen everywhere. Utah, or just a couple of years ago, there was this incredible destructive hailstorm in Utah that took the insurance companies by surprise. So these are what insurance companies call secondary perils, but they're not secondary anymore. It's not just the earthquake and the hurricane that we need to be afraid of and prepared for. Convective storms, which is lightning, it's flash flooding, and central Tennessee, 17 inches of rain, 17 inches in a 24-hour period. Yeah. Records being shattered everywhere. People dying in New Jersey from a hurricane that hit Louisiana. Twice as many people died in New Jersey. These things are unprecedented.
Well, and we know all about the flash floods here in Utah. Every year people are killed in flash floods here in Utah. So we're no strangers to that phenomenon either. So, all right, Jerry Theodorou is the director of the Finance, Insurance, and Trade Policy Program at the R Street Institute. Jerry, this has been great. Thank you so much for bringing some expertise and some context to this conversation. Thank you.
Thank you, Ethan. It's been a pleasure.
We're going to grab a quick break here, and when we come back, though, we've got plenty more to go. You know, the Taliban has put together their government. Some of them are wanted by the FBI. So that's awkward, especially because we're still trying to kind of negotiate the last few Americans to get out of that country. So what do we do next? We're going to chat with another expert. We'll be right back.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLPodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.